All right. Thank you, Pastor. Good to be here this morning. Every environment you enter requires a protocol. If you're going to talk to the Queen of England, there's a certain way to go about it. There's etiquette. There's procedures required. There's a protocol for soldiers when they command their salute their commanding officers. Dignitaries require dignity. Every environment you enter requires a protocol, and there's a protocol for entering the presence of God. We just written a book that has 18 biblical protocols, but I'm going to give you about five of them, I think, here this morning. And the question is, what is the code of behavior? How do we approach God? What is the procedure? What is the protocol for prayer? So let me just give you several of them. In the interest of time, we're going to use the overhead here this morning. So notice, first of all, the gratitude protocol. Psalm 100 includes three of these biblical protocols. And again, in the interest of time, let's just read the text out loud. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Let us read the text out loud together, please. I enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It's the gratitude protocol. How should you approach God? With gratitude. Now, the gates are the doors, all right? It's the entranceway. It's the threshold. And we're to approach the Lord with thanksgiving. Now, you can take things for granted, or you can take things with gratitude, but you can't take them both ways. And the Bible says we're to approach God with thanksgiving. Don't get so busy adding up your troubles that you forget to count your blessings. It says in Psalm 116, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, God gives and God forgives, and we should thank him. When God gives you something, thank him. When God forgives you for something, thank him. I'm just telling you, if you would consider your present position in light of your former condition, you'd be a whole lot happier than you're looking right this moment right now. I'm just telling you, if you would consider your present position in light of your former condition. Now listen, you not only thank God for forgiving you the sins that you have committed, you ought to thank God for the sins that you didn't commit that you could have. Amen. You might have done bad, but you could have done worse. I'm just telling you, you might have done bad, but buddy, you could have done a whole lot worse than you did. How many of y'all think we ought to thank God for the restraining hand of God upon our lives? It's a gratitude protocol. Hey, Thanksgiving is always in season. Thanksgiving is always in season. And the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his court. So, listen, when you don't know how to pray, I told the man, I said, now look, sometimes when you get in a situation, a spot, a hard place, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to pray, I'll tell you how you can always pray. No matter how baffled and perplexed and disturbed and disrupted you are, I'll tell you how you can always pray. It's like this right here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just telling you, if you'll enter into his gates with thanksgiving like that, it will help calm your spirit, put a different perspective on things. It's the gratitude protocol. William Romaine said that gratitude to God makes even a temporal blessing a taste of heaven. Somebody said that he who forgets the language of gratitude can never be on speaking terms with happiness. Have you noticed that grateful people are happy people? Have you noticed that griping people are not happy people? Have you noticed complaining people are not happy people, but thankful people are happy people? It's the gratitude protocol. So we're going to practice these protocols here this morning. I'm of the persuasion that we have been really good on instruction, but pretty weak on implementation. So we're going to implement these gratitude protocols here this morning. So stand to your feet. I want you to find one person, 60 seconds of thanksgiving only. Not asking for anything. Not asking for anything, thanking only. Pray out loud, 30 seconds each. Find one person, 60 seconds. Lord, I thank you for, fill in the blank for 1 minute. Go ahead and start praying out loud in groups of two. Everybody covering. Lord, thank you for this good day. Thank you, Lord, for this meeting. Thank you for... Let's sing that song, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Sing it out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thy great salvation soaring and the gratitude protocol. You can be seated. Notice number two, and I'm kind of rushing through this because we want to cover it. The cleansing protocol. How do you approach God with gratitude? Come into his gates with thanksgiving. But notice, if you would, in Psalm chapter 24, it says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to get in the presence of God? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath, say it out loud, clean hands and a pure heart. It's the cleansing protocol. God's holy. He's so holy he can't even look on sin. So if we're going to approach God, we're going to ascend into the hill of the Lord, we're going to stand in the holy place of God, buddy, we need clean hands and a pure heart. Now, the word clean means innocent, spotless, or guiltless. Peter says, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. A.W. Tozer said, when God declares a man righteous, he instantly sets about to make him righteous. It's the cleansing protocol. Now, the Bible says, it doesn't say, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that has cleaner hands. It doesn't say cleaner. It says clean. It doesn't say better. It says clean. It doesn't say improved. It says clean. What can wash away my sins? I grew up on a tobacco farm in Southside, Virginia. I know you're out here in California. Y'all have different products that you grow in your fields. Amen. But we had tobacco and a dirty, messy business. If you work in tobacco fields, you get up early in the morning when the dew's on them, and you work for about 12, 14 hours. And what we would do is we would harvest the leaves, starting at the bottom of the plant, and you walk through these rows, harvesting, picking off these leaves, and then you would transport them to the barn, string them up, put them up and cure it and all of that. Well, walking through a tobacco field when it's 100 degrees and 100% humidity, the tars in the tobacco plant, the tars, just like asphalt, it's black as soot and thick. And brother, it's awful. And of course, we didn't have enough sense to wear long sleeve shirts. And we wore short sleeve shirts. And after a full day in the hot sun, walking against those plants, the tar would accumulate on our arms, on the hair on our arms, and it would be like so thick. So at the end of the day, when we had finally finished, my brother and I would rush to the bathtub and we would pull out the lava soap. How many know what lava soap is, with a pumice and a scrub net? And we would start scrubbing and scraping and it would take 30 to 45 minutes to dislodge all the tar. And boy, did it ever feel good to get clean. And can I say something to you this morning? It's good to feel clean in the presence of God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, sometimes we need to feel the blood applied. You know, he bore our sins that we might have his righteousness. He took our guilt that we might have his grace. He took our shame that we might have his smile. He took our punishment that we might have his peace. He took our death that we might have his life. And he took our penalty that we might have his pardon. The cleansing protocol. My Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses from not big sin, not little sin, not some sin, all sin. It cleanses from all sin. Now, how do you get clean? How do you get clean? How do you approach God? You get clean by coming clean. You get clean by telling God the truth, the whole truth. Don't ask God to help you do better next time if you need to repent of the last time. How do you get clean? How do you get clean? By coming clean before God. The Bible says if we confess our sins, which means to agree with God and say the same thing about it that God says, Lord, I was wrong, you're right. And if we confess, admit, agree with God about our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'll give you a tip here this morning. Never confess the same individual sin twice. Stop it. The Bible says if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And if you confess the same sin the second time, you're guilty of unbelief because you didn't believe what the Word of God said in the first place, that if we had confessed it, he'd forgive you. And I want to say something to you. It's time that conservative churches in North America got a little dose of the joy of God's salvation and felt the blood of Jesus to take away their sins and quit walking around in shame. Quit walking around in guilt. Quit walking around in depression. Quit walking around with a cloud hanging over you and feeling bad about yourself. Brother, admit your sin to God. And I'm just telling you, the way to get clean is admit it, quit it, and forget it. Say that out loud. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. The Bible says he that covers his sin is not going to prosper. He that conceals his sin, he ain't going anywhere. But whoever confesses, admits, and forsakes, quits, shall have mercy, forget. So the way you deal with sin, brother, is just to tell God the whole truth. No excuses, no justifications. God, I did this, thought that, I said that. Lord, admit it, quit it, and brother, forget it. Claim the forgiveness of God. And by the way, when you confess your sin to God, immediately launch into the gratitude protocol. Immediately. God, thank you for forgiving me of that sin. It's the cleansing. It's the cleansing protocol. So I want you to bow your head right now. I want us to practice the cleansing protocol. And if there's anything on your conscience between you and God, admit it. I was wrong. Lord, I said this. I thought that. I did that. I responded this way. Admit it. Quit it. And forget it by thanking God for cleansing you, all right? It's the cleansing protocol. How many of you think the blood of Jesus is adequate to cleanse us from our sins? Amen. Like right now. Let's practice it. Enter into his gates. Clean hands, pure hearts. Hands talk about your action. Our hearts talk about our motivations. Any uncleanness, put it under the blood right now. Talk to the Lord from your heart to his heart. Just get it all out there. Just tell God the truth. Then begin to thank God for forgiving you for whatever you just confessed. Lord, my attitude's not been right. Thank you for cleansing me. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the powerful blood of Jesus that puts away our sin from your sight as far as the east is from the west. Father, thank you that we can't be any more right with God than what the blood makes us right with God. Father, thank you for the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Father, thank you for the cleansing protocol. God, thank you for forgiving us every sin we committed yesterday, today. God, thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus. All God's people say it. Amen. I'll tell you what, all the blood songs are happy songs. Look in your hymn book. Every blood song is a happy song. They were all written in revival because people appreciated the cleansing protocol. We got a third one for you, the praise protocol. Oh, this is a fun one. Look at this. The Bible says, read it out loud, enter into his courts with
praise.
Enter into his courts with
praise.
Praise. It's the praise protocol. How about to come into his gates with thanksgiving? Come right into his courts with praise. Now, this is a tribute, a claim, glorifying God. The Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You know what that means? It means to clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I'm tired of Baptists getting up and saying, well, the charismatics have robbed us of our praise. They ain't robbed you of nothing. You gave that up by default all by yourself. Quit blaming some other group for taking the joy of God and the fire of God out of the house of God. Quit blaming somebody else and quit worrying about being identified with some other group. And brother, you just be yourself and clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I tell some of y'all are pretty timid out here in the West Coast. I thought y'all would be a little looser out here, amen? But anyhow, if a word of discouragement opens the door for the enemy, then a word of praise closes it and locks it. Now, just a little more sound there, if we could, fellas, I'd appreciate it. You know, John the Baptist, the Bible says, was the greatest born among women, and he was full of the Holy Ghost from the womb, right? I mean, I don't understand that. But that's what it says. Now, you realize that when John was in Elizabeth's womb and Mary shows up with the Son of God in her womb, that Holy Ghost-filled infant, John, when he got in the presence of divinity, the Bible says he leaped in his mother's womb. You know what that means? Buddy, he cut a little jig in there because he got into the presence of God, and people who are filled with the Spirit of God get a little animated when they find the presence of God real to their hearts. I'm just here to tell you, friend, that praise is faith set to music. And the presence of God calls for some animation, for some exhilaration, and for some exuberance. That's why I love the prayer advance. Because when the cow gets out of the barn, you can't help but enjoy yourself. I don't care where you went to school. I'm just here to tell you that, brother, if you never get so full you can't stand it, you need to get full of the right thing. I had a guy tell me, he called me up, said, Harold, I'm going home from the prayer advance. He said, the joy of God hit my heart so strong. He said, I had to pull over on the side of the road lest I run out of the road. And brother, if you never get so filled, full you can't stand it, you need to get full of the right thing. And I'm telling you, the presence of God is the praise protocol. That's what's going on in heaven. I mean, what do you got? The San Francisco Giants. Is that right? Did I get that right? The Giants. The San Francisco Pygmies. But I don't know what the scores are, so I don't know about all of that. But in Denver, Colorado, when the Broncos play, you know, it's 22 below zero. The fans have gone mad. And the guys rip their shirts off, paint their bodies, dye their hair, scream like a bunch of Comanches. And nobody thinks it's out of place. Well, brother, if that crowd is excited about the National Federation of Lunatics, I'm just here to tell you, it's all right for me to be excited about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to have a little praise in my heart before Almighty God. What happened to us? We become so dignified, so ritual-minded, so formal that somebody has a heart attack and needs a tranquilizer if anybody finds the joy of God in the house anymore. There's something wrong with that. We need the praise protocol. Now, listen, let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise to God continually. C.S. Lewis said, praise is boasting about what you enjoy. Praise is boasting about what you enjoy. Does anybody enjoy the presence of God? Man, I pulled out the iPad, got a couple of choirs going this morning on the internet. I was in the hotel room having me a good time, brother. And even before Starbucks, I can have a good time, right? It's the praise protocol. But especially after Starbucks, it's better. But it's the praise protocol. Now, instead of counting your bruises, try counting your blessings. You know, when men cease to praise God, they begin to praise one another excessively. I go all over the place. And people who have never met me don't know me. I'm amazed at some of the introductions I get. Now, if you go to academic institution, it's always Dr. Vaughn. We're so glad to have Dr. Vaughn with us here, Dr. Vaughn. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not even a nurse's assistant. And here they are. I'm so glad to have Dr. Vaughn with us here today. And then they come up with a string of accolades. And I'm sitting out there thinking, man, who are they talking about? And if my wife is with me, I said, honey, listen up. Listen up. Listen to this man. You got it a whole lot better than you ever thought. Listen to what this man is saying right here. But you know, when we cease to praise God, as we should, we begin to praise one another. And I'm just here to tell you, I'm sick of Dr. So-and-so. I couldn't give a rip about Dr. So-and-so. The fact of the matter is, brother, we're here to praise Almighty God. And I'm just telling you, it's the praise protocol. Now, praise is going to be your chief employment in heaven. Some of y'all are going to have to perk up, or you're going to have you might have a heart attack if it's possible in eternity. I'm just telling you, listen to this right here. Listen to this. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. Worship him that liveth forever and ever, casting their crown. They're falling on their faces. They're throwing their crowns and saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Brother, if praise is going to be your chief employment in heaven, you should make it your noblest work on earth. You need to learn to praise the Lord. Have you ever read the Psalms? Have you ever read Psalm 150? Praise him with the stringed instruments, man. Praise him with the cymbals. Praise, I mean, it's all about Psalm 146 through 50 is all about praise, right? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It's the praise protocol. Now, brother and sister, every worship service on earth is choir practice for heaven. And if you find it difficult to praise God for what's going on, at least you can praise him for what's going to be, because a better day is coming. Somebody said, praise God when you feel like it, or praise God until you feel like it. It's the praise protocol. Now, I'm going to scare you here this morning, but it says in the book of Acts, they all lifted up their voices to God with one accord. You know what that means? That's a southern prayer meeting. I know this is California. Look, we think y'all are crazy, and you think we're crazy. But I'm telling you, y'all are crazier than we are, all right? I'm just here to tell you that it's the praise protocol. That was a joke, all right? It's the praise protocol. I mean, I think the Lamb is worthy of all praise. Say amen. Amen. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go for about 45 seconds of unbridled praise. God, I praise you because you're holy. I praise you for your mercy. I praise you for your giftedness. Stand to your feet. Bow your head, open your mouth, pray out loud, just a little season of praise protocol. I know it's a little different, but it happened in Acts. It can happen here. Everybody, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and just about 45 seconds of praising God. Lord, I praise you for your blessing. I praise you for your holiness. I praise you for your mercy. I praise you, God, that you're a good God, a patient God. I praise you, Lord, that you are such a blessing. So incredibly good. I praise you, Lord, that you're my God. I praise you, Lord, that you have given us all things freely to enjoy. I just praise you. I just thank you. Lord, I just bless your name. I just praise you, God, that you're a holy God. You're a righteous God. Lord, Father, for your people to praise you. Oh, Heavenly Father, words are inadequate to give you the praise and the glory that's due unto your name. But Lord, for what we know about you, and what we know about us, and what we know about your grace and your mercy, and the power of the blood of the Lamb, we said, praise ye the Lord. Father, teach us, God, to praise you like you desire and like you deserve. Father, teach us to enter into your courts with praise. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. It's the praise protocol. Praise protocol. Number four, the singing protocol. It says there in Psalm 100, come before his presence with what? Come before his presence with singing. There's a reason why church services open with singing, because that's the way we're to approach God. Now, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Now, it means to shout for joy, that word singing. That's what it means. It's the voice of triumph. It's celebration. It's rejoicing. Psalm 95, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know what the word joyful noise means? To split the ears. That's what it means. To split the ears, to shout for joy. It's the sounding the alarm of triumph. Every revival is characterized by heartfelt singing because praise is the proper response to greatness. So we're to come before his presence with singing. Now, the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Can I tell you something? It's all right to sing to God and not just about God. Colossians, listen to it. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's why you can peel off on that holy, holy, holy sometimes, and you just between you and God. I'm just telling you, it's the singing protocol. Now, singing to the Lord, from your heart to the Lord. We have prayer advances back home. You talk about singing. Man, you talk about praising. Brother, you talk about blessing the name of God. I'm just telling you. But we have a student prayer advance. In the last 4 years, we have found that the young people are singing from the bottom of their hearts at the top of their lungs, expressing praise to God, and God loves praise. He inhabits praise. He shows up in the midst of praise, but it's the singing. It's the singing protocol. Now, God's given us three things to refresh our souls, three things to refresh us. Come tonight, we're going to talk about, I think, the ministry of refreshment. But three things God's given us to refresh our souls: nature, friendship, and music. People come from all over the world to go to the Rocky Mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains. People will go to the ocean to get away from the desert of Central California. Say amen on that point right there. I was in Arizona one time in Arizona, and they said, well, did you see the beauty of the desert? I said, well, it was hidden so well, I couldn't find it. Nature, mountains, right? So the nature can refresh us. Friendship can refresh us. Thank God for good friends. How refreshing is that? But the third thing is music. I got a friend, he's got chronic immune problems. He takes a shot every 3 weeks. If he didn't, he would die. He's very, very sick. You know, he said to me, he said, Harold, one of the things that helps me the most is music. And I'm telling you, it's the singing protocol. Now, Tim can sing. Megan can sing. Some of you folks can sing. I can't even play the radio. I can't hardly even talk. I got vocal problems. But I'll tell you one thing. We're living in a technological age, and I have identified the types of songs that exalt God in my mind, that elevate the Lord in my heart, and lift my spirit. I've identified them on the internet. So even though I can't sing, buddy, I know where to go to find something that's going to lift up the name of God in my heart and liberate my soul. It's the singing protocol. Can I just tell y'all something? It's all right to enjoy God a little bit.
Amen.
You don't need to be so stiff and look like you need some sort of a digestive aid. I mean, it's all right. It's all right to enjoy the presence of God, for crying out loud. I mean, our God is a supremely happy God. In thy presence, there's fullness of joy. And that crowd in heaven, they can't hardly stay on their seats. They're so full. And brother, they're praising the Lamb in the midst of the throne. Heaven's going to be a shock for some of y'all. Well, we don't act like that down here. You better act like that down here. Somebody said, well, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed to act like y'all act at the prayer event. If you're going to heaven, you better learn to act like we're acting down here. I'm just telling you. It's all right to enjoy God. Does anybody go along with that right there? I ain't talking about acting stupid. I ain't talking about putting on a show. I'm not talking about drawing attention to ourselves. But I'm just here to tell you, God's good. Jesus saves. And brother, I'm just telling you, it's the singing protocol. I can't sing, but I sure appreciate music, man. And I know it's good. When I start laughing, I know it's good. That's just the way I respond to it. So how about let's sing in that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Let's stand our feet. Let's employ the singing protocol. First stanza, Amazing Grace. Tim, get us going.
Amazing Grace.
from your heart to God, saying,
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Was blind, but now the singing protocol. God loves to be worshiped. He's looking for people to worship him. It's the singing protocol. Come before his presence with what? With singing. All right, we got one more. Pastor, we have time for one more, or you want to quit? Right.
Keep going, bro.
One more. You can be seated. All right, we got one more we're going to talk about here this morning. It's the faith protocol. The faith protocol, you all know this verse. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, approaches God, must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's the faith protocol. You've got to believe. You can't approach God apart from faith. God's greatest pleasure is to be believed. God's greatest grief is to be doubted. That's why if you're gonna pray about something, pray in faith, because if you're not praying in faith, you're not praying anyhow. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So if you're gonna come to God, you gotta come with the faith protocol. It pleases God. I mean, it's just, check it out. Now, faith, somebody said faith makes giants look like grasshoppers. Faith makes giants look like grasshoppers, but unbelief makes grasshoppers look like giants. You know what we do? We look at our besetting sins. We look at our tendencies. We look at our upbringing. We look at our weaknesses. Quit looking at all of that. I'm just telling you, faith makes giants look like grasshoppers. Remember that crowd, the Israelites? You know, they had an identity crisis. They got to looking at all of the enemies, and they said, man, we were like grasshoppers in our sight and in their sight. They felt like losers. They thought they were insignificant. And I'm just here to tell you, brother, in Christ, you're an overcomer. You're a conqueror. In Jesus, you're justified, sanctified. You're already the righteousness of God in him. You're more than a conqueror. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory. You can do all things through Christ. He's given us everything that applies to life and godliness. You've been made a partaker of the divine nature. Don't talk to me about what a big sinner you are. I'm here to tell you, you're a saint if you're saved by the grace of God. Back home, they sing that song, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Really? Of course we were sinners. Of course we couldn't tell how bad it was. But brother, I'm no longer only a sinner. I'm a child of the Most High God. And brother, I got the life of God living in me. And brother, I'm not working for victory. I'm working from victory. Amen. It's a faith program. Somebody else started needing to believe in the book. Instead of shaming ourselves and guilting one another, we need to quit some of that. And brother, we need to take up with the word. It's the faith protocol. Now listen to this. Unbelief always considers it too soon or too late for God to work. Unbelief always is considered it too soon or too late for God to work, but faith expects God to work now. Somebody said, man's extremity is God's opportunity, and the sphere in which God does his greatest work is the sphere in which no one but God can work. God loves with a passion the man who has a heart for the impossible. Faith is the only doorway to please God. It's the only way to God. You don't relate to God with your physical senses. I mean, you're not going to run out there and touch God with your fingers and smell God with your nose and taste God with your taste buds. No, you relate to the physical world with the physical senses. So how do you relate to God, who's a spirit? The sixth sense, faith. Faith pleases God. It's the faith protocol. Now, it's the only way to relate to God. Now, I was in Champaign, Illinois, and the Spirit of God touched down. And we had a move of God. We extended the meeting three times. And second week, we had all kinds of people coming in. And there was a woman in the church that had prayed for her husband for 30 years. He had issues. They told him he was antisocial. They told him that he was manic, depressive, bipolar, slapped all these things on him. And you know what he did? He believed them. And he adjusted to accommodate what they told him. He couldn't go out of the house, couldn't go into a store, couldn't go to church, couldn't stand to be around crowds, because they told him he had all these problems. Well, she prayed for 30 years. Second week of that meeting, guess who showed up? Her husband. Never forget it, preacher, sitting in the back of the church, coveralls in the Midwest. You can look at this man and you say, this man's got some issues going on here. But buddy, he sat there for 2 hours, which was like the demoniac being clothed and seated in his right mind, all right? He just couldn't do this, but he did. Came the second night. Came the third night. I think it was the fourth night. He got born again. Amen. Fifth night. Here's a man who can't leave the house, can't be around crowds, stands up before all these people and tells them how the grace of God has found him out. That's been a letter. Listen to me. He's been in church every service except when illness prevented him. He's working in the Awana program. You know what I think? Jesus was passing by, and this guy just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Amen. You know what I was hoping? I said, Lord, I wish I could bottle up this atmosphere. There's a revival atmosphere, by the way. I said, Lord, I wish I could bottle up this atmosphere and just douse people, because there's millions of people that have issues. Are you with me? They have real issues. But brother, if they could get in a Holy Spirit saturated, sanctified atmosphere, I'm telling you, when revival comes, there's a healer in the house. And I'm telling you, I believe in substantial healing for some of these emotional things in this life, total healing in the next life, right? But substantial healing in the here and now. It's the faith protocol. She prayed for 30 years. I got to tell you this one. We're having a ladies' prayer advance. And 1 year we had impossible prayer requests where we asked people to pray for stuff that was not probable or potential or even possible, but only God could do. So we had these big requests. And one lady, she had her mother needed a kidney transplant. The doctors in Philadelphia said she was too old. She found a doctor in Richmond that said, you find the kidney and I'll do the procedure. So the daughter was praying her mother would receive a kidney without killing somebody. How do you go about looking for a kidney anyhow? Planned Parenthood? Craigslist? I mean, what do you do? So she's praying. Well, would you believe when they got home, two ladies came up to her and said, God's put it on my heart that if my kidney's a match, I'm going to give you one. Not one, two. The first one was a match. So the next year at the prayer advance, they've swapped out the kidney. So the daughter's up in the pulpit telling the story. Here's the mother, Mama Carter. She's my adopted mother. She's a dear old saint of God. And the white woman that gave her kidney to Mama Carter was standing right beside her brother, the donor and the recipient and the prayer. And nothing is impossible with God. Can I say something to you? I know God doesn't heal everybody, but he does heal some bodies. And I think he'll heal more bodies if God's people would dare to get out of the boat of unbelief and believe God for some miracles. Are y'all with me on this point right here? Now, I know that scares some of you, but you just need to read the New Testament and take it at face value and quit listening to the people that tell you that ain't nothing going to happen from here on out. Well, it's the last days, brother, and the evil men are going to wax worse and worse, and the apostasy set in. There's a great falling away. Don't expect anything good to happen. Just hold on and don't polish the brass on a sinking ship. I reject every bit of that. I repudiate every bit of that unbelief. I'm sick of the stinking thinking and the unbelief of the people that claim to have the highest view of the Bible, have the least amount of faith of all of God's people. And it's high time that we had the faith protocol and we begin to believe God for big things. Y'all going to have a tent meeting out here? Why don't you believe God to save 500 people? Why don't you believe God to rally the troops? Why don't you believe God? I mean, what do you need? Tim's going and Megan, they're going over to New Zealand. Why don't we believe God to send such a spirit, a wind of revival that they can't get home for a while? Amen. Plus, the country's a whole lot prettier out there than it is right here in Rio Linda. I can tell you that right now, brother. I can just tell you that right now. I've never been to New Zealand, but it's got to be better than this. Amen. I mean, I'm just telling you. But what are y'all with me on this? The faith protocol. My son went to the mission field, prepared his whole life to go to India. Went to India, came down with Crohn's disease. The darkness of India is so pervasive and so overwhelming. He had to come home, 35 years old, what he had prepared for his entire life. The rug, so to speak, was pulled out from under him. It was hard. Difficult. Some of y'all have physical situations going on. You know what I'm talking about. You gotta find some resolution for suffering, you know, as you go along. Came home, wondering where God was. I'm sure he had hard thoughts toward God. Okay. The most godly young man I've ever met. But buddy, he fell into a severe trial. Difficulties. Emotional, mental, spiritual, physical. My wife is the faithful one in my family. She's believing God. We believe in God for restoration. And I just want to say something to you. That the Crohn's is in check. Hallelujah. But more importantly, his spirit has been reconciled. And the life has come back into him. He and his wife took a mission trip, led a mission trip to Turkey this summer. I'm telling you, that's huge. That's huge. And some of y'all got some situations that's difficult. Maybe you've got some marriage issues. Maybe you got some family issues. Maybe you got some grandchildren issues. Maybe you got some prodigal issues going on. Maybe you got some health issues going on. Nothing is impossible with God. It's the faith protocol. And brother, if we're going to come to God, we're going to have to believe that God is. And we're going to have to believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I want to tell you, I still believe in Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. And I still believe in Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. And I still believe that God can do what men can't do. And the doctors don't know it all. And quit listening to those psychologists and those fatalists and just dare to believe God. What do you need? I mean, what do you need? What do you need in your family? What do you need in your body? What do you need in your ministry? What do you need? You got financial needs. You got family needs, health needs. I mean, emotional needs. Can I just say this? That we get the idea that spiritual people don't ever have any problems. Have you ever read the Bible? You ever read about Elijah after he called down fire and he's praying in a cave that God would kill him? That's pretty low. You say, well, John the Baptist never was like that. Really? Have you ever read where that when John the Baptist was holed up in prison, Jesus didn't come to visit him? He's the guy that was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb, greatest born among women. He's laying up in prison. Jesus didn't come to get him, didn't send him a get-out-of-jail-free card, didn't send him a Dairy Queen cake with a file in it so he could saw his way out through the prison bars. He got nothing but silence, and he lost heart, and he lost faith, did he not? And what did he say to his disciples? Look, you go ask Jesus, are you the one or should we be looking for another one? He questioned his old ministry. He questioned whether Jesus was even the Messiah. That's pretty low. So the disciples went over and said to Jesus, John wants to know, are you the man or not? Jesus said, you go back and tell him. Deaf are hearing, blind are seeing, lame are walking. Poor are having the gospel preached unto them, and blessed is he who is not offended in me. And I'm telling you that Jesus sent a confirming word to John the Baptist, who fell into a terrible pit of unbelief and depression. And if a guy was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb can get depressed, you and I might stand the chance of getting depressed somewhere along the line. I got an 83-year-old friend, he's an evangelist. He said, Harold, for the first time in my life, I'm suffering from depression. I said, you mean to tell me you lived 83 years and this is the first time you've encountered depression? He said, yeah. I said, man, that's enough to turn a spiritual cartwheel right there. 83 years before the first episode with that giant of despair. But what I'm telling you is this. Nothing's impossible with God. Does anybody believe that?
Amen.
That God can help us with our peculiarities, with our backgrounds, with our hang-ups, with our emotional situations. Some of us are stable as a rock and dead as 4 o'clock. And then some of us are stable and full of the life of God. And some of us are not as stable as others. But it don't make any difference what your temperament type is. Nothing's impossible with God. And I'm here to tell you that God, when revival comes, there's a healer in the house. And I just want to tell you that God let me out of my pit of depression after cancer came to our house. Went into a 5-year pit 2 years ago, brother. I woke up in April, and brother, something had changed. I'm just telling you, something had changed. It wasn't 100%, but it was 100% better than it was. And I'm just here to tell you that even this summer, I have found for the first time in 7 years, I feel like I got my resilience back, and I feel like I've got my feet back on the ground, and I'm feeling like I used to feel, because one guy said, your new normal is never going to be the old normal. I want to tell you something. You might not be in your old or normal, but brother, unbelief, cast that thing out, and God can lift us back to empower us to do what he wants us to do. And brother, I'm just telling you, God's not dead, and we need to start believing God. So what do you need this morning? What do you need? I mean, what do you need? The faith protocol. Can we believe God? And here's the way you practice the faith protocol. Lord, I'm struggling with whatever. But Lord, I'm asking you to deliver me or provide or to heal. I'm asking you to intervene. And then here's the way you do the faith protocol. Thank you for reconciling my family. Thank you for saving my children. Thank you for rescuing the prodigal. God, thank you for healing my grandchild who's facing illness. God, thank you for the financial provision because we're struggling. God, thanking God's the first step of faith. It'd be hard to thank God in advance, wouldn't it? Anybody can thank God after the answer comes. You don't have to wait till you get an answer. Blessed is he who believes, who's not seen. Just go ahead and thank God up front. So we got to get out of here, but we need to practice the faith protocol more than any of the rest of them. So, here's what we're going to do. How about this? How about this idea? Anybody here that's got a need that's too big for you, you got an impossible situation or an impossible request. You can do it. You can produce it. It's bigger than you, but you got a desire for God to intervene and to meet the need and to come to the rescue. Does anybody here have something like that? Maybe it's a burden or a grief or a garbage or something that's guilt or something that's just overwhelming you, but you need a touch from God. We'd like to have a prayer of faith for the people. Maybe you're here and you're sick and you're suffering. My wife got cancer, by the way. You know, it's always the other guy that gets cancer, right? It's always the other guy's wife that gets sick, right? No, it ain't always. And I'm telling you, in those kind of cases, brother, we can believe God to restore health. So we'd like to have a prayer over people who have needs that are too big for us. But nothing is impossible with God. And we'd like to have a prayer for you. So if you'd like to be praying for on something that's in your life, in your heart, in your family, that you need a divine intervention, and you'd like to be prayed for, what would you just stand to your feet right where you're at? Just stand to your feet right there. We're going to have a prayer faith over somebody with people like that. Okay? Just stand to your feet. I'm going to have a little season of prayer right here. Okay? All right, here's what we're going to do. I want those of you that are seated to look around at the people who are standing, especially those up front. If you're up front and look around, just look around. We got a lot of people standing. We want to have a word of prayer over these people. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a corporate prayer, but before we have a corporate prayer, I want those of us who are not in need of a miracle currently to exercise faith over those who have burdens and needs. So I want everybody who's seated just to huddle over. One person, just lay hands on the shoulders of these people, and one person pray for the power of God to come and to intervene, okay? A little different here. But look around. People are standing. Everybody needs somebody praying with them. Get to your feet and just go over. If you have to and you're standing, just huddle up together and pray with and for one another. Just find somebody standing. We got three people right back here, standing right here. Just huddle around here. John needs somebody here. Got some three right here. Just pray over these. All right, just lay hands on their shoulder and somebody lead out in prayer and believe God to intervene and to help these folks. Just pray the prayer of faith. Now, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that nothing is impossible with you. And Lord, for the burdens represented here, Lord, we pray that you would heal the broken heart. Lord, you would restore the joy of your salvation. God, that you would minister grace and mercy and your favor and kindness and your smile upon hearts here, Lord. We're thankful for rescue. We're thankful for reconciliation. We're thankful, Lord, for resolution. Lord, we're thankful, Father, for working in our hearts, in our homes. We're thankful for working in our physical bodies as well as our inner man. Lord, it's wonderful when you heal the body, but it's even better when you heal the soul. So, Lord, by faith, we thank you, Lord, for ministering grace to every person here this morning that has a burden upon their hearts. Father, thank you for these protocols, and thank you, Lord, we can come to you by faith. Now, Lord, lead preacher to direct us. We pray with expectation in Jesus' name. All God's